Hey, this is your wrestling podcast fix. Follow us on Facebook at The Enziguri Pro Wrestling Discussions, on Twitter at The Enziguri, and catch new episodes of The Enziguri on SoundCloud.com. God, turn it off. Turn it off. They don't make wrestling like they used to. I'm about to make a mess on myself. Hey, everybody. What's going on tonight? What's happening? This is Fran, and we got...
D.B. Richards.
And JCO.
Another episode of the Enziguri Podcast, and tonight we have our special guest...
Andy Hedder.
Andy Hedder. He is not on the line yet, but I think D.B. is about ready to give him a call. Or we get a call from him.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hold up. This
guy's turning up the volume a little bit. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Okay.
I hear one of you, but the other one is real light. So.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Okay, I heard that.
Okay. Welcome to the Enziguri. Let's start off with that. What got you into pro wrestling? What was your favorite thing growing up?
Well, jeez, I remember the first match I ever seen was like some random like 6-man tag, and the first wrestler I ever remember was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Not really one of my favorites, but that was like the first guy I've seen. It was probably like some Saturday Night Main Event or something I was watching at the time, because I had to be, I don't know, geez, 6, 7, maybe 5. I was real young. But,
yeah,
At that time I only really got WWF, so that's the only thing I seen. Like, there was no NWA in my cable, because I live up in Northeast Pennsylvania, so there was no NWA, and there was definitely no territory, so that's all I had was WWF. So that's basically what got me into it when I was real young. You know, Hogan and Macho Man, you know, like WWF from about 86 to like 91 was like, well, probably 93 was like my favorite.
Yeah, 93 was a good era.
So here's a question. So a lot of people these days talk about how, you know, with the surge of like the internet and everything, how it's the cool thing to be a heel mark. But there's a lot of people I talk to where they say, yeah, it was actually the bad guys that got me hooked into wrestling. Was that the case for you, or were you into like the Hogans and the Warriors?
I mean, I like some bad guys, but kind of later on, you know, when you're a little kid and you see Hogan and Warrior, and then you're like, oh, these guys are awesome, you know. So it's kind of like the main good guys. But then like when Demolition first came out, I was like, wow, they look awesome. So like I like them. And then like as you like get older and you like start liking wrestling for people who can actually wrestle, then you're like, wow, this Mr. Perfect guy, he's great. And they like Roddy Piper. So I mean, for me, it's a mix of both. Like I like some of the characters, but then some of the guys that could really go in the ring, like Mr. Perfect or like Rick Rude, I'd be like, wow, these guys are really good too.
Yeah.
I got a question. So for like the general way of wrestling is today, do you like more, are you still more like into like the athleticism end of it or the story end of it?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of both. I mean, like I like a good story, but you know, obviously I like a good a match that's like a New Japan match, which is like maybe 30, 40 minutes of just, you know, awesome action. But mm-hmm. I don't know. So I would say half and half, because like, I mean, if it's a good story, but the guys get in there and the match is just, then, you know, I don't want to see that either. So maybe I'm a little bit more on the athletic side of things, but you know, I do enjoy a good story. I mean, we're not really getting any right now at WWE, but a good story is pretty good too. So I don't know. I would say maybe, let's say 60-40 leaning towards athletic.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it also depends on, like, how well a story is and how well the match is. Because sometimes you can get a match that's thrown together that has absolutely no story, but the match itself will be spectacular. And then other times you might get two people in the ring that really are not known for having great matches, but it might have a really good story behind it. So, I mean, it just depends on... There's so many different variables that you got to keep in mind.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, like when they threw that one match together, when Bray was out and then Finn Balor wrestled AJ Styles at the one pay-per-view, I'm like, wow, this is great. There's no storyline at all for that.
Exactly. Yeah, that was thrown together like the last second.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody loved it, so.
I mean, as long as you have two guys that actually go in the ring, I mean, you were to throw a match together and say, nothing against them, but it was like the Miz and Elias, I mean, you're probably not going to get classic out of that,
So you grew up in the 80s, right? With the cartoons with He-Man and G.I. Joe and Thundercats.
Yeah, so,
did you get into, like, rock and wrestling cartoon?
Not really, because I remember, like, I think that was on and I was maybe just a little too young, because I was born in 82. So, and I think that was on, like, 83 or 84, somewhere around there, maybe later. But okay. I only remember seeing it in, like, in video stores on video cassette, to date myself there. So I would see it, and I'm like, this is all right, but... Even as a kid, I was like, wait a minute, they don't sound like, that's not Hogan's voice, that's not Piper's voice, like, I knew it wasn't their voices, so kind of took away from it, so I was never real into that cartoon.
Yeah, the guy that played Hulk Hogan's voice is the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? I did not know that.
And, Junkyard Dog is the Fresh Prince's uncle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. I still have a VHS of like the, I think it's like the first two episodes somewhere.
Okay. I saw that on the internet that you're built from Street of Rage. So are you a video game guy?
What was that?
It says that you're from Streets of Rage.
Yes, I take that from the video game, obviously, of the same title. Just to have some kind of different, like, you know, rather than, oh, I'm from Boxville, Pennsylvania. Like, just sound a little more. Like when Cactus Jack was like, from Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, or the Double Cross Ranch that Terry Funk, just to jazz up my hometown a little bit. So that's why I said the Streets of Rage, because it's unique. It's kind of memorable.
What is your favorite fictional town?
Oh, geez. parts of Noah would be high up on the list.
You remember the one that they did for Sid Vicious, right?
No, I don't. I would say Dudleyville would probably be.
Nah, the announcer used to say, coming down to ring from wherever he damn well pleases.
Oh, that's a good one. Also,
my favorite one was Everyman's Nightmare for Sting.
Yeah. If you remember Damien Demento from the outer reaches of your own mind.
that brings it back right there.
Yeah. So anytime there's a gimmick town, I pop for the gimmick towns because it's just. Even like Rob Van Dam, Battle Creek, Michigan, it just sounds really cool. I mean, that actually exists, but it just sounds cool.
You remember where Sabu was from?
I know that they, in like PWI they put Bombay, India, but other than that,
there was a couple of times in ECW. I think it was just kind of as a rib where they hailed him from Bombay, Michigan.
Bombay, Michigan. Oh, that's pretty funny.
It's like what we do on Jinder Mahal.
I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, he's
like,
Bombay, India, Canada.
Yeah, when the FBI was big in the ECW, and they'd be like, Tommy Rich was from, like either somewhere down south, Italy, and then, like, there was another guy that was from Harlem, Italy, and I was like, oh, my God.
So I was looking at your trainers. You were trained by Bruce Maxwell, Mike Quackenbush, and Cesaro?
Yeah, how about that? So I was actually, Bruce Maxwell, he doesn't wrestle anymore. He was part of a tag team called the Best Around.
Okay,
and,
yes.
Yeah, they were in CZW for a while.
Yes, I remember that.
He took a break and came back, and his partner, whose name, oh my God, I can't remember his name. What was his name? Jeez, anyway, but they're both kind of retired now.
Yeah.
Or not really retired, but not active, let's say. But I was training with him. They had a place up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Well, right near Jersey Shore, it's called. It's up there. And then they had, like, an airplane hangar a little bit. You know, it wasn't, like, an active school or nothing. And then I was doing that for a while. Then I found out about Chikara. And even though I was, like, 2 hours from my house, I started going there. And I was there for a couple months. But then, like, I wasn't making the most of money at the time. So I was only there for a while. But, yeah, Mike Quackenbush was there. And then Cesaro, who was Claudio Castagnoli at the time, was one of the trainers. So it was pretty cool. And also, Sarah, Sarah Del Rey,
yeah,
Chains of All the Women. Now she was there, like a lot of people, like Drew Gulak was in and out, Orange Cassidy. There's a lot of people now. It's like, wow, that went through Chikara. So it was cool to learn. Like, that's where I learned, all the lucha and high flying stuff.
So did Cesaro or Bruce Maxwell or Mike Quackenbush give you any advice?
Yeah, like Quack would sit you down and he would tell you like how wrestling works and everything. Like sometimes we'd train and then he would just like talk to you for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes and just tell you all kinds of like just things about, you know, psychology of matches and how to get booked and character work and all that. So yeah, he taught a lot of stuff. So anytime like he does a seminar or something, it's well worth it for any wrestlers. Because Mike Quackenbush really knows his stuff. He also posts videos on he's like a YouTube page where he just like he'll like do like certain like characters in wrestling and he'll go and talk for like 20 minutes, and it's very helpful for any wrestlers. So, and it's, of course, Claudio Cesaro would tell you stuff too, but it was more so Mike Quackenbush.
Gotcha. Like I have like a big like Mike Quackenbush like man crush because I love his how he puts his shows together.
Oh yeah,
and I heard like his whole like it's like a book, how he wants the show to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of. And then like mostly all the characters are out of his mind, so that's pretty creative. Like all the Chikara characters over the years, like he has pretty much thought up.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, so, I see that you wrestled under the name Davey Lawless.
Yeah. So, for a while there, I had a pirate gimmick, which is just a stereotypical pirate, and I would come to the ring with a bottle of booze, but it was like an unmarked glass bottle, but I had iced tea in it, because I was listening to a band called Ailstorm at the time. I still listen to them, but they're like pirate metal, and they're very, like, they... All they sing about is, like, you know, sailing seven seas and drinking, stealing gold and stuff like that. And, like, they have cool, like, keyboards that sound like, you know, all the folk instruments. So I was listening to that, and for some place, I don't know how I first got booked, but I don't know. They had something or something. I don't know if they wanted me. I was like, well, hey, I got this pirate gimmick I want to try. Do you mind if I do that? And they're like, yeah, you could do that. So I did that for a while, but I liked it, but it's kind of limiting, and then kind of like you're kind of like a goofball because, you know, oh, you're a pirate and it's 2019, you know. So I mean, like Kyrie Zane does it, but it's like it's kind of like, oh, she just likes pirates, but like when you're actually a pirate, it's like, well, how did he get here? Did he sail his boat here? So it was fun, but I only did that for like I think maybe 2 years off and on, and then I kind of just revert back to myself just because there's more to do, and then like promo wise, you know, there's only so much you can talk about when you're a pirate. Maybe it was the 80s, like, you get away with that for years and years, but nowadays it's a little hard. It's limiting. I'll say that.
It's the same kind of reaction that people had when they first saw the Viking Raiders.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, it's almost like a very 80s gimmick, which is good for nostalgia, but, like, if you kind of want to be taken seriously, there's only so far you can get when you have a real goofy gimmick unless you start, you know, being a little bit more serious.
Speaking of like throwback gimmicks, this isn't a gimmick, but what do you think of the current format that NWA has going? Have you caught any of it?
Yeah, so I watch NWA Power every week when it comes out. I absolutely love it. I think it's great. Even though it's just like the studio wrestling of old, it just, since we haven't had it in, oh, Jesus, 25, 30 years, it's like, wow, what is this? It's new again. So I love NWA Power. Just they walk out to the ring, no music, they have the match. I mean, a lot of times it's job matches, but who cares? And then they cut the promos. I mean, it's a great show, and it flies by, and it's only an hour. So, like, I would love to do NWA Power. I'll go on there and do the job anyway.
Yeah, Corgan's doing a good job for what?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I heard that the next set of TV tapings is sold out, and the pay-per-view is sold out, too. So, good for them. Like,
yeah.
It's great.
So, I see that you're in a tag team called Blue and Gold.
Yes. The
first thing I thought was DC with Booster Gold and all
Blue
that.
Beetle.
So that's the first thing I came to mind, you know what I mean? But yeah. You said it was Matt Turner's
school. Yeah, I don't mind that. That's me and Matt Turner. And how that came about, was we were wrestling for Grand Slam Wrestling that kind of is defunct now, but they were running out of Wilkes-Barre area in Pennsylvania, and we were just singles guys, and they kind of threw us together as I don't know, some random tag match for some reason, and we've known each other for years and years, so like, we kind of gelled pretty good. And he was wearing blue and gold because that's his high school colors up there from Old Forge, Pennsylvania, which is like the next town over from Wilkes-Barre. Mm-hmm. And he started doing that, and I was like, well, if they put us a tag team, like, I'll just get blue and gold stuff, because I usually always wear purple and green, or now I branched out and I do other comic book stuff like Spider-Gwen, and I have some Gambit stuff I want to do, but I was like, well, I'll get blue and gold gear, you know, blue and yellow, and match you. And then I was like, and then people were like, well, what do we call you? I was like, I don't know. I couldn't really think of a cool name. And then someone said, because my name Andy Hedder has a Matt Turner, they said the Head Turners. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a name for like two strippers or something. So it just kind of like blue and gold, it kind of, which is cool, because like you said, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, which that comic by Jeff Johns, fantastic. And then X-Men Blue and Gold, the blue team, the gold team. So that's kind of how that came about, just because it was his high school colors, and we just kind of went with it.
Gosh, I would hate to have my high school colors as an outfit. Oh, maroon and gray.
Oh boy, mine were maroon and white, I think. Oh, so yeah.
Oh, what was yours?
Green. It was called the
green and white.
Oh, green and white. Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
then you could look like the Spirit Squad.
Yeah. Oh God.
Ugh. Yeah, my school was.
I was gonna say, I was just on a show with them not too long ago, like 2 months ago. It was Nikki and Mikey. Or what was his name?
Kenny?
Yeah, Kenny and Mikey. Kenny and Mikey, sorry. Nikki is sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, they're such good heels. But like, it's funny though, because I mean, when we saw them out in the concession stands and everything, they were like the coolest guys. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were cool. I really didn't talk to them, say hello to them, but they seemed very nice.
Yeah, They're fun to talk to. They talk to us for a couple hours about nothing, really.
Yeah, as long as you don't talk to Ken Doan about John Cena, everything will be okay.
All right, he's still hot about it.
Not sure yet, but I'm sure it's not a, you know, something that he wants to talk about. So.
Yeah, can't blame him. Everyone thought he was really gonna go somewhere, and then he kind of just fizzled out. I mean, he was in. When he was on, he was really young. Like, I think he was, like, what, 21?
Yeah. Like, he was young.
Super young. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they still look good. Tommy Dreamer brings them in for House of Hardcore all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at one of their shows one time. Not wrestling, just watching, but it was a good show.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. It's fun. Tommy does a good job. We're going to go the 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where's that one at in the ECW Arena?
Yeah.
Okay, I seen that. I was saying about my friends about going, because my one friend has never really been to many indie shows. I think he's seen me a few times, but he's like, well, we'll go see House of Hardcore. That's a pretty good show. And then I'm resting that day, so I won't be able to see it.
Like, it's crazy, like, how every promoter that's nearby all put on the same show on the same day.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I was like, sometimes. Oh, my gosh, who do I go to? Yeah. So I don't go anywhere. I just stay away because I get to know you guys, and if I go to one show, somebody might go, why you went to that show? And I'm not part of that. So I didn't go.
Yeah, it's just to keep everyone from getting mad at you. And that will happen, and the next week will be zero shows. It's like, oh, yeah. When are you guys putting around this week?
Like, I think the independent world needs to work together. I know promoters don't like each other, but try to bring back the territories in a way.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It's like, oh, you work this Friday, we'll work this Saturday, and then wrestlers might have time to do stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, and then, like, because when they run two shows, even if it's just, like, you know, 10 miles apart, you're still taking from each other's draws. So why not just, okay, you get this week, I'll get the next week, you know? And that way, you're not competing with anybody, and, you know, just why take away from each other? That's what I think.
Because, like, I know Chuck Payne. He had to leave one show to get to H2O.
Okay.
And to get to his match. And he only had, like, maybe an hour to get there.
Yeah. And that's rough. I've done that, too, the double shots. You know, you're on early in one show and late in the other. And you're kind of just rushing to get there. And then, you know, you got to quick put the match together, or sometimes just call in the ring. But I mean, it's rough. I don't like to do that unless it's real close.
Yeah.
You know, that driving. But even then, I'd rather just go to one show, just stay there, and not have to rush and worry.
Well, that's one of the problems with the well, not really a problem, but it's just kind of how the business is these days, where it's like, you know, okay, you have the independent companies that want to have, like, start establishing names, but once those names become established, then other companies are going to offer them money, and where are they going to go?
Yeah.
So.
And they kind of get picked up, but that's the thing. I mean, wrestling's so hot right now that, like you looked at, like, the PWG Battle of Los Angeles, like, there's a lot of guys in there this year that, like, not many people do, because a lot of the names are signed up, and they can't do it, so. I mean, it's good for everybody because everybody moves up, you know. I mean, take a guy from, you know, the small indie moves up to a bigger indie because their guy went to the big time. So, I mean, it works out for everybody, but, like, sometimes it's hard for a promotion to keep names because, you know, they don't have the money.
Yeah.
So, you're big on podcasts. You got the Tornado Tag, and you have another one that's... You guys talk about Pokemon and all that. What was that one called? I can't.
Yeah, that one's called Not Cool in High School. So that one's every Tuesday. And we just talk about, you know, all kinds of dorky stuff. Comics, video games, movies, you know, stuff like that. And then Thursday is our just strictly wrestling podcast, which is the Tornado Tag Podcast. And then I do another one with my tag team partner called Calling It in the Power Ring, where we combine both of those and we talk about comic books and wrestling. So... I'm pretty busy with the podcast. I love podcasts. What can I say?
Oh, they're fun to do. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So how did you start getting into the podcast business?
I'm trying to think. Like, well, my one friend, they used to have one where they called it Shows from a Hat, and they would just review random shows that they would get on independent wrestling TV, and they'd just review that random show, and sometimes I would go on. Because they would sometimes do WWE shows. Guys, I don't have Impact Wrestling TV, but I have network, obviously. And I just review shows with them. Like, this is a lot of fun, you know. Just tell what you think about the show. And then my tag partner, he always liked to do like a big Wrestle Kingdom, because we're big New Japan guys. Big Wrestle Kingdom like review, and we did on their show twice. And then they were done the one year. Like, they didn't have that show for a while. I was like, are they gonna do a show? I was like, probably not. And he's like, well, maybe we could do one. I was like, I guess. I mean, it can't be that hard. Like, I just called him on Skype, and they would record it somehow. And I found Anchor, which Anchor's fantastic to upload your podcast to everything. And then Audacity is the program to record on. And once I looked up, and I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. You know, obviously, the first couple didn't have the best sound, but... So we got in that, and then we did a review of Wrestle Kingdom, and we just kept going. Now we just... this week was the 75th episode of Call of the Power Ring, so... We're doing pretty good. I mean, you probably don't have a ton of listeners, but some people listen, and every one person listens, I greatly appreciate it. And then my other friend that wants to start the Tornado Tag and Not Cool in High School, because he has, like, a podcast network that he has, you know, grand plans for. And that we just, about 1 year anniversary of the Tornado Tag was yesterday, so we're doing pretty good. And then he wants to start that, and, like, I was already doing mine for a little bit, and I was like, yeah, I'll start with you. And he also does Facebook live streamings, which I don't do on mine, but we do there, and then we do it, and then sometimes we'll just do an hour and then cut off, which is pretty cool. But then we're recording all the audio for you know, downloadable podcasts on, you know, iTunes or whatever.
Yeah, I enjoy. I listen to your show when I Uber. It's kind of fun. Thanks. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And now we have a thing on Tornado Tag where we start interviewing, like, indie guys, and not like higher, like my level and stuff, because that way, you know, we'll tag them, they get the show, put themselves over, put over any shows they're on. And then everyone that's friends with them might say, oh, well, hey, so-and-so's on there, I'm going to listen to that. And they'll become a fan of us because we're interviewing them. And then, like, when they go to random indie shows, like, sometimes I can't go because I'm wrestling, obviously. But they do, like, a review on the ride home. And that's usually the kick because, like, what wrestler doesn't want to hear about themselves? So, you know, that's a good idea. We've been having some success with the little local show reviews we do here in Northeast PA.
That's gotta go.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's easy. You just talk about wrestling. I don't really have to research anything, you know, because usually I know all the goings on wrestling.
Yeah.
So here's a question. I mean, it's kind of on the topic of podcasting, and but it's more along like the. Do you ever go on the social media groups on Facebook and just kind of read the discussions that people are talking about with wrestling, or do you just try to avoid that?
Some. I mean, you always have them guys. I mean, they're just the people on there that just hate everything. You know, they're always trashing everything no matter what, which is like, come on, it can't all be bad. I mean, obviously when some stuff is bad, it's bad, but I mean, a lot of groups are kind of, I guess you would say, toxic. So I'm on a couple on Facebook that more so like the pages I'll just comment, not really the groups. They might be in one or two groups, but like kind of like the wrestling pages that I follow. I can't even think of any. I think one's like All Things Wrestling. And I was commenting on there, but usually I try not to get in fights with everyone because, like, you know, someone's like, oh, so-and-so, I hate him. And like, really? It's like, I don't know. It's just some people, no matter what, there's someone out there that hates everybody, you know?
I think the most toxic discussion going on recently is AEW versus WWE. That right there will make you stop reading stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, for years people are like, oh, we want an alternative, we want to watch something else, and if I finally get it, and then they just crap all over it. It's like, well, you asked for it, now you don't like it. It's like, and then there's the people that are hardcore, AEW rules, WWE sucks. It's like, well, not everything sucks. I mean, yeah, Raw and SmackDown are pretty bad, but there's some good, like the NXT Invasion. Like right now, personally, I'm enjoying AEW more, but then NXT is really good too, but just Raw and SmackDown are kind of on the bottom.
For me, my gripe is, like, the hypocrisy people have with, like, some of the gimmicks and stuff on AEW. It's like, oh, you hate Orange Cassidy, but you love The Undertaker. It just, like, both are, like, completely out of this world and fictional. But, like, yeah. Why is that you can get into, like, the character of Undertaker and not Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, The Undertaker's been dead for, what, 30 years? Exactly. Orange Cassidy's kicking him. And it's like, every time he does the little, like, you know, nonchalant kicks, he usually gets, you know, beat up pretty bad. Like, Pac did that thing where he just booted him right in the face. So, I don't know. I mean, it's wrestling. You can't take it seriously. I mean, if you want to look at it, the Irish Whip is realistic. But, you know, you got to suspend your disbelief a little bit. I mean, it's just like anything. Like, you go to watch Star Wars. I mean, really flying around in space, okay? But
Nobody would ever talk about how awesome it would be to see The Undertaker and Orange Cassidy in the ring at the same time.
that would be something else. Even Undertaker now, which, like, I'm not too big on his matches nowadays, but, like, that would be something. We'll see.
Undertaker does a sit-up and Orange Cassidy just does a shoot kicks.
Yeah. And Undertaker just looks at him. That'd be awesome.
Do you ever have a scenario in your head as far as, like, matchups or that are probably not going to happen, but you really wish they would?
Like a bucket list.
What was that?
Like a bucket list, right?
No, just scenarios that they could happen today because the wrestlers are alive, but because of the companies that they're in and everything, you're most likely not going to see it happen.
Oh, okay, yeah. Definitely, AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega. Obviously, that'd be an awesome matchup, but that's not going to happen now. Could it happen someday? Maybe, who knows? But that would be one. Stick on top of, like, the Young Bucks versus the Revival, which, hey, that may happen when their contracts are up. But yeah, sometimes I watch it, like, oh, so that, you know, so and so wrestled so and so, you know. If Okada came over here and wrestled Seth Rollins, that would be pretty fun, you know.
I always thought that Okada versus Orton would be an interesting one.
It would be, you know. I would sit down and watch Okada versus John Cena just to see, you know. I mean, because when John Cena was doing the U.S. Challenge thing, the Open Challenge, he was having some good matches, but just to see the match that John Cena and Kazuchika Okada would have, just the clash of styles there, it'd be interesting. I don't want a 10-match program, but one match, sure.
On the flip side, what wrestler from WWE would you love to see jump, shift, and adapt to, like, some different company?
I would love if Cesaro went to New Japan, because I think he would thrive there. Because, I mean, they're not really doing anything with him at all.
Like, so, for Fran and I, our biggest one is to see Roman Reigns in New Japan.
Oh my god. Can you imagine?
Okay, I mean, so the reason, I'm not going to go on this too long. So the reason why I mentioned that is because, so I'll talk to a couple of friends of mine, and I also talk to, like, whenever Dave and I discuss it, and like, one of my friends will go, oh, you know, Kenny Omega, like, he's such a great wrestler, but he's always using the V triggers to the point where he's spamming them. And I'm like, can you imagine Roman Reigns in New Japan? They would totally sell the Superman punch like I something else. All of a sudden, Dave Meltzer would say that it's a 5-star match. So
it would, you know, and over there, I think the booking, because that's what hurts a lot of WWE. It's not that the guys can't wrestle or that, you know, their characters are bad. Well, some characters are bad, but it's just the booking. But, like, yeah, if you would take someone and place them in, like, someone like New Japan, like, would Roman do well? I mean, he's not a bad wrestler at all. You know, he has a good look at everything, but, like, and the Japanese are so respectful and everything. Like, they he did the Superman punch, like, oh, it's over! But, you know...
For as much flack that Reigns does get, I think he would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously would be allowed to do more, you know, and maybe if he could be himself, he would be more likable. Because, like, his character comes out and just like, yeah.
I would be Roman Reigns' biggest fan if he would Superman punch Jay White.
I would love...
I would like to see that, too. Jay White's one of the guys who's like, he's a good wrestler, but I'm just like, no, I'm just not into them. I mean, there's some guys in Japan. There's just
some guys where you want to see them get punched in the face.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he does have that heel heat where you're like, you do want to see him get beat up.
I would love to see Randy Orton in AAA down in Mexico.
Orton would have a field day. RKOs for everyone.
Yeah, he works better with the small guys, too, so just throwing them all up. Like, the only guy that would probably be someone his size would be like Dr. Wagner, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that would be cool. I mean, sometimes the guys out there, I'm like, obviously we all knew Randy Orton was going to re-sign, but like if he would have left him with the AEW, like what a refreshing that would have been for his character, you know? Like just to see all the new matchups and everything. I mean, obviously we see Randy Orton and Chris Jericho, but just in a different environment, it kind of really like refreshes the guy totally.
Just the little bits and pieces of how he is on social media. I always said that it would just be interesting to see him on the mic when he's... Because there's been so many times where, like, he's just gotten into the routine so much that it's kind of like what you were saying. It would just be... Just seeing him in a different environment would be interesting. So
they should make a storyline, have Randy Orton rig the weighing and just make it a 205 and stand on it. I'm 205 and go 205 and just have a field day.
Oh, yeah. We always joked about it. We were like, yeah, why can't Brock Lesnar go to 205 Live?
That's like my friend's like, you know what would be great if Brock Lesnar won the 24/7 title and he just has it for like a year.
And then somebody
beats him ever.
And then somebody tries to take it from him when he's at like a Jimmy John's.
Sable wins.
Sable's the new 24/7 champion. Oh, boy. But that's one of the things like, well, why not? Why wouldn't you want that title?
You know what? Title. Actually, I think the most ridiculous scenario that people were mentioning, I don't know if somebody mentioned it or if it was us, was when Maria Kanellis had the 24/7 title. Well, if she's sleeping, isn't the baby technically pinning her?
Yeah, I guess the baby upside down.
Maybe like
the baby, unborn Kanellis is the 24/7 champion. Oh, boy.
Don't give WWE any ideas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the angles where it's just like the whole Maria and Mike thing. It's like, oh boy, why did you resign? and now with Rusev and Lana, like, ugh. Like for me, Raw and SmackDown is very hard to watch. Like, I wait, like, cause I don't have cables, so I just Hulu. I wait the next day, and now it's like I used to watch Best Words most of it, but now it's like if I hear something's good, I'll watch it. If not, I'm not watching. But like NXT, AEW, NWA Power, New Japan, I'll watch them straight through and just totally enjoy them.
Yeah. Okay, I know this is like a big thing. The fans have a problem with Nia Jax. Not Nia Jax, I mean
Nyla Rose.
And about her being a transgender. And what is your opinion about transgenders being in women's matches and all that?
See, I have no problem. I've known Nyla for years. I think she's really cool. And I think it's great that she's getting, you know, all the success she's having right now. I love it. But like, a lot of people are like, well, that's not fair because they were born a man and it's an unfair advantage. I'm like, well, you know who has the unfair advantage? The Booker. So, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, in wrestling, Rey Mysterio has beaten the Big Show. In real life, that probably won't happen. So, I mean, it's like, well, Nyla's so much bigger. It's like, so's Awesome Kong. Like,
I was about to say that, because, like, how can she be the monster of the division when she's not even the biggest women's wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, it's some people that are just, they're hateful towards trans people. It's like, I don't care. It's like, do what you want. It doesn't affect me at all. So, like, live your life and be happy. It doesn't bother me. But, like, some people, just they can't get over that. And that's why they're just like, oh, it's not fair and she shouldn't wrestle. But, like, well, nothing's fair in wrestling. Anyone can beat anybody. It's just whatever the booker says. So
it's not a legitimate sports competition. Although in that case, then there's an argument for that. But, I mean, when it's strictly, like, I don't know if this is the right word to use, but strictly theater, what does it matter?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like, you're arguing about something that doesn't matter. Now, maybe if it was MMA, okay, it's a little bit different. I don't know much. I'm not a big MMA guy, but, like, it's wrestling, so, like, people beat people. Anyone can win. It's wrestling, you know? But, yeah, I think it's great that Nyla is getting the success she's getting. And I don't mind one bit.
I love a parody that South Park recently just did in reference to, like, the whole transgenders competing in women's sports, where it was literally just, like, it was literally Macho Man Randy Savage identifying as a girl to compete in events.
I've seen pictures of him, but I didn't get to watch that yet. That's a little crazy. It's like, yeah, I'm a woman, yeah. Like, yeah. Okay.
Snap into it.
Do you have any bucket lists, any wrestlers out there that you will love to wrestle?
Oh my god, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, if you're talking right now, I would love to wrestle Daniel Bryan. I think that'd be fantastic. It's Chris Jericho. I mean, that's one of my favorites. Rob Van Dam, he's still going, one of my favorites. So, I mean, there's a lot of people. They put me in New Japan, everybody. You know, maybe not like Yoshihashi. I don't think I'd be too into that. I would love to wrestle Minoru Suzuki. I'd probably not be too happy afterwards. I'd be like, oh my god, you beat the shit out of me. But yeah, Minoru Suzuki would be great. So, I mean, Okada, Kenny Omega. I mean, there's plenty of people. I'll wrestle anybody, just about, you know?
Who's your favorite, or who's been your favorite opponent so far?
Well, recently I've wrestled, I had three matches with a guy named Wild Child Dave Smith, and that was in Outbreak Wrestling, and we had really good matches. Even the first time we had the first match, that was really good. So I'd say recent, like, past 2 years, he's one of them. There's another guy I used to wrestle. He had a couple matches in CCW. His name was Aaron Arbo, high profile Aaron Arbo.
Okay.
And I would wrestle him, and then he'd tag up with a guy named Unbreakable Andy. We always had great matches, and he got hurt in the face. He got, like, his face cracked in a match, and he kind of is afraid to come back. So we're hoping he does come back. I mean, he's all right and everything. He's just, like, afraid. So Unbreakable Andy, Horner is his last name. So a lot of people got us confused. Their names are similar. So there's a couple right there. But Dave Smith is probably the one that comes to mind most recently.
Okay. I'm a big fan of ribs. Did you ever have a rib towards you, or did you ever rib anybody?
Well, who's that though?
Have you ever had a rib towards you?
Like a practical joke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I couldn't hear you. Kind of out of it. Not really. I mean, I might do goofy ones with people backstage. I just put their shirt on or something. A lot of times, like, the guy will be going over his match and the belt's there, and I take his belt and I'll take a picture and I'll send a picture. I'll message him the picture on Facebook saying, like, look at the belt I just won. So stuff like that. But I've never had any, like, we locked his bag shut with a padlock or something like that. If I have any ribs or anything, that's more, you know, the ribbon on the square, as they say. So just goofy little things, you know, nothing hurtful.
Nothing like X-Pac shitting in bags.
Yeah, nothing like that at all. I mean, that's too much. I mean, you want to go and, like, you know, take someone's shirt and turn it inside out and put on something. Like, yeah, that's okay, but nothing. When you're destroying stuff or you're going to the bathroom in people's bags, come on, you know?
Impact is doing that storyline right now. That really? One of the wrestlers shitted in Ken Shamrock's bag.
Oh, God. I didn't know that. Oh, man. In fact, I really don't get to see, but I've heard it's really turned around.
Yeah, it really did turn around big time.
Why does that sound like something that Ken Shamrock probably suggested and said, yeah, it actually did happen?
Yeah, so, probably because someone did it like years ago. He heard it. Like, it's a great storyline.
Okay. Yeah, I never found out who did it for a good reason.
But now we'll find out. It's like, who did it? Ken Shamrock. Oh, it was Sammy Callahan. You know,
I recently did a rib to a friend at a bar. He went out to take a smoke, and I asked the bartender, does he have anything back there that looked like beer? He goes, apple juice. So we poured apple juice into a glass and left it there. And he tried it three times, thinking, like, what's wrong with my beer?
That's a good one. That's not hurtful, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Unless the person really, really hates apple juice.
And the funny part is, the funny part is, his last name is Jackson, so we called him Apple Jacks.
That's a good one. Yeah, see, that's a well-thought-out one. It's a good one. Yeah, unless he's allergic to apple juice.
Oh, that would suck. I would have been pissed off if that happened.
Yeah, can you imagine? Just start choking or anything.
And the first thing comes to mind with the apple juice gimmick, do you remember Little Monsters?
Yes.
When the bully goes, who pissed in my apple juice?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
The other one would be Problem Child.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Tangy.
Tangy.
Probably that is a movie I haven't seen since I was young, man. Problem Child, jeez.
I'm a big movie buff. I own like 5,000 movies in my collection.
Oh, wow. Usually, like, nowadays, really, I'm only watching the comic book movies, and that's usually about it. We did have a theater that was real close. I had a theater that was less than 10 minutes from my house, and then the mall closed, and they tore it down, and now the closest theater is an hour away. So for me to see movies, it's like, you got to factor, I got to drive an hour back, the movie's 2 hours, that's at least 4 hours, so it's like, it's a little rough to see movies. That's like, I wish they would just say, hey, the movie in the theater is, you know, $15, but if you pay $20, you can watch it, download and watch it at home. I would gladly pay more to watch it, even if it's just the one time, you know?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So.
I haven't watched it yet. I picked up Peanut Butter Falcon. It's about a special needs kid that wants to be a pro wrestler.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, like it's a Sundance movie, so I'm going to be watching that. I'm going to watch it soon. I haven't opened it up yet.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Might be pretty good. Here's a deep cut. I always ask people, like, I see this movie out of Sheetz one time, and I bought it. I was like, what? Did you ever see the movie FDR?
FDR?
Yeah, about the president, but it's not a serious movie. It's an over-the-top, wacky, goofy comedy.
The name rings a bell. I
mean, yeah. It is tremendous. It's really something else. I bought it. It was like $9.99, I think, out of Sheetz. And I was like, what? FDR? And it's called FDR American Badass. So that gives you the... it's just crazy over-the-top goofiness. So,
what is your all-time favorite movie?
Oh, my God. Probably. So I have like a top, like, I don't know, five, maybe more. Terminator 2. I would say Avengers, the first one. Anchorman, I love Anchorman 1. Because I'm all over the place. Beetlejuice and Spaceballs. So that is like,
we ain't those are my found top shit.
We ain't found shit. Spaceballs is so quotable. I wish they would have made more, you know?
I thought he was making another one.
He was talking about it because of the search for more money?
Yeah.
They always kept teasing it and saying he was. Then, like, when Star Wars had the first episode one or whatever, when the new one came out with Anakin, that's when they're all going to make it their Spaceballs, and then they never did. It's like, oh, man, I wish they did, because I love Spaceballs.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now, seeing if it...
What do you think? What do you think of the new, the upcoming Ghostbusters and Bill and Ted movies coming out?
The Ghostbusters one, I'm kind of looking forward to because it's supposed to be like, you know, a continuation of 1 and 2 because I guess the girl one never happened. And it says that the guys are going to be in it, and I guess you would think it would be their kids. I'm looking forward to it. I think it would be pretty good. The Bill and Ted one, I haven't seen Bill and Ted movies forever. I think the last time I seen them was I was a kid, so I'm not so excited about that. But that should be pretty good because I enjoyed watching those as a kid.
I think it should be called Bill and John Wick.
I'm really just interested to see. I'm really interested just to see because Keanu Reeves has taken on such like badass roles. Just to go back to that role.
Him
just being a goofy, like a goofball.
He's been doing a lot of that lately with the SpongeBob movie, and then the
It might be pretty good. I would say it'd be worth a watch. And definitely I'll see Ghostbusters when that comes out, because I love Ghostbusters. Even the girl one, I didn't mind it. Everyone's like, oh, it's terrible. I didn't think it was the best movie, but I enjoyed it.
There was just too much hype behind it.
Yeah. And I mean, there was like, when it came out, the people were just, I think people hate it, wanted to hate it, they hate it. So no matter what the movie was about, they were like, oh, I hate it, it's a shit. So, yeah, whatever.
I wasn't a fan of it.
Well, it's kind of it's kind of the same take that people have with the new Terminator movie, that it's just like, it's a, one of the YouTube comments was like, I need you to close your boots and your menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Now, the newest one, I didn't see that one, but what was the, Genesis? I thought that was really good.
Oh, Genesis made my head spin. I mean, I know with Terminator movies that, like, you know, you kind of have to take yourself away from reality, but that movie was really pushing it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing where John Connor's a bad guy, I was like, I don't like it, but I'm still enjoying the movie because I just want to see old Arnold and young Arnold fight each other. So,
I'm not an actor, but the guy that played Kyle Riso, he was so horrible in that movie.
Yeah, I forget who it was. I want to think it's I couldn't name it. I'm terrible with acronyms unless they're like super huge. I tell you, Robert Downey is Iron Man, you know.
That was the best role for him there.
Oh yeah, I agree. Like, he was perfect for that. Like, there's not many perfect superhero castings. That Patrick Stewart as Professor X, and then what's his name as Wolverine.
What about Robert Downey?
No, like, he was great as Wolverine, but I wish he was a little bit smaller.
What about Robert Downey in Tropic Thunder?
What was that?
What about Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that was great too.
I'm just a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah. That movie, I haven't watched that in a while, but man, that movie was great.
That movie really pushed the idea of what people could like see right now, because like everybody's so sensitive about everything.
Oh yeah, they probably wouldn't do that now, you know, the whole like he's blackface and everything. So, but yeah, I thought Travis Fedder was great.
Who are you calling? You know, us people.
Us people.
Yeah, we people. Yeah, us people.
Oh gosh, 2K20 came out. Has any fans made you for that video game?
I don't think, not for that one, because of how terrible it's been, you know, all the glitches and everything, but the past couple of years people have made me, and one guy sent me a video, I was like, wow, that's really good, like, I had my gear exact, and I think that was like, so I'm in 2K18 and 2K17, and then I made myself in Fire Pro Wrestling World, so if you're interested in playing that, you search my name, I made me, so I'm perfect on that game, well, perfect for, you know,
yeah, we always
how I am in real life.
Yeah, we always wonder about that with some of the career wrestlers we see online. It's like, I think in 2K19 it was Tommaso Ciampa. He just looked way too good. It's like, I think that he probably made himself.
Yeah, because like if you really want to spend time, I mean, you can get pretty in depth there. But like, you know, I made myself in New Japan, so I spent hours and hours making the character. So I would say there's probably a lot of indie guys that make themselves. I mean, there's fans that make them. But, yeah, probably a lot of the guys make themselves. I mean, why not? Exposure, you know?
It'd be really funny, though, if somebody left a comment on there to somebody who's, you know, a wrestler making themselves, and the guy's like, this is not accurate enough.
Yeah. I made it. I think it's accurate.
Are you a PlayStation or Xbox guy?
I'm more PlayStation. I have them all. So I have the Switch, and, of course, I'm playing Pokemon. Yeah, but yeah, I have the Xbox One and I have the PS4. I was hardcore into 360, and then when like they were putting out the Xbox One, they said, "Oh, you have to use Kinect," and then the guys were just being dicks about everything. That's when I jumped to PS4. So mainly my main system is PS4 now.
Okay, you said you got playing the new Pokemon game.
Yes.
How is it?
I like it. It's fun. It's the old RPGs, you know, like Red and Blue.
Okay.
And what's all the else? Soul Silver and all them. So it's like them, because I played Let's Go Eevee, and that was kind of like a redone Pokemon Yellow, but they had the elements of Pokemon Go where you catch Pokemon like that, but the new one, Sword and Shield, is more like the old school RPG. So if you're like any of them that's been on any of the Game Boys, you'll like these ones, and then you can finally play it on your TV. Like, it doesn't have every Pokemon ever, but I think there's like, I think they're up to like 1,000 now or something like that, but there's like 400 in this game, so that's enough. I mean, at a certain point, there's only so many different fire Pokemon you can have, where you're like, all right, this is enough.
They gotta leave some out for the newer Pokemon games.
Yeah, and then I seen something in an article or something, they said, like, if they would have put every single Pokemon that exists, like, the development time would have been a double or triple, and, like, the game would just take forever to be made, and it's like, and then like, most of the space of the game would just be Pokemon. Yeah, like, okay, well, here's your 10 hours of gameplay, and here's your 1,000 Pokemon. Oh,
yeah, they're pushing past, like, at least 800 at this point, especially with this new generation.
Yeah, so I guess with the new one, it's, like, 1,000 now. It's insane.
I'm looking over at JCL over here. He has Pokemon Go. Did you play that?
When it first came out, a little bit, but I found it kind of repetitive. Like, you just throw the balls at the Pokemon and catch them, and that's it. Like, when it first started, you couldn't battle or anything.
Yeah.
So I played a little bit, but I wasn't that into it. It was about a month after it came out, I was done.
I definitely recommend getting back into it, because a lot of things have changed. You can do a lot more now.
Yeah, that's why I heard, like, the raid battles and everything. And,
plus Team Rock is a thing.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, where I live, like, right across the street was a Pokestop, so I could just sit on my couch and be like, spin. You know? And there was a gym right up the street, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Of course, I would always get my ass kicked at the gym, because I just had, you know, low-level Pokemon. But, yeah, the Go, I never really got into. I'm not big on phone games too much. Like, I'd much rather play a console game.
All-time favorite video game?
Oh, jeez. Probably Skyrim and Fallout. Any type of like RPG where I can create my own character and explore the world and do the stories, that's my favorite. I even have a Skyrim tattoo that's symbol of the Dragonkin on my arm. So.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, I actually got it before the game came out, because, like, they just had the promotional art. I'm like, wow, it looks awesome. But I played Oblivion, and I loved Oblivion, so I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to like Skyrim, so I'll just get this tattoo. So, like, if the game was terrible, I'd be like, well, at least it looks cool, but the game was great, so I don't regret getting a tattoo.
Did you play Elder Scroll?
Yes. So I even played a little bit of the online one I did not play, because I'm not too big on MMOs. I got burned out on World of Warcraft years ago, and I've never gone back.
Okay.
But I did play, what was the third one? Morrowind? So I played that a little
bit. Okay.
But Oblivion and Skyrim, they're the ones I put hundreds of hours into.
Okay.
And any Fallout's good, except for Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah, I didn't play Fallout. I didn't even buy it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And then I seen with all the problems and everything. But 3 and 4, New Vegas, are great. Yeah, not so much the older ones. Like, I got a computer collection. I was trying to play them. Like, maybe if I would have got played them at the time, but now it's kind of rough playing those.
Oh, yeah. Kind of spaced out for a second.
Gosh, I thought we'd keep on going.
I thought you jumped out too.
I know you're big on your podcast. You always talk about going to listen to music and all that. What's the local bands that you're enjoying right now?
Well, locally there's one band that's pretty big. They've been on tour. They're called Crobot. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Like, a couple of guys are from the area. I think maybe all the guys. And we actually had the one guy, Eddie Collins, who plays guitar for them. He was on our other podcast, Not Going High School. And they're kind of like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Clutch. They're very similar to that. So they're probably one of the biggest bands out of the area that has actually, like, made it somewhat. I mean, there's a couple other bands. There's one called Faith Exile. A couple of my friends are in. They're really good. Very heavy sounding. And I'll try to think if there's a... what's the name of the air band? Oh my god. Hands Resist is pretty good. But, like, my one friend Tony, he's, like, really super into local bands. Like, I just, like, because I really, if it isn't metal or hard rock, I'm like, I don't care. So, like, he likes everything, but it's like pop punk. I'm like, no thanks. So, you know, I'm more on the metal, hard rock side. So, if one that's the big way, I would say Robot.
See, I always ask a lot this question. It happened to a wrestler up in Magic in New Jersey. Have you ever soiled yourself or vomit in a match?
No, I haven't actually, but I have seen a couple guys throw up. I've seen a guy do a dive, and I guess he was scared. Well, the guy threw them, right? And then we caught him, and he rolled off and threw up. I was like, oh, God. and I caught him, and I'm like, well, I'm out of here. So I just walked over because it was a multi-man match. Like, I'm going over there to the side of the ring. I'm just kidding. But I have never seen anyone go to the bathroom, but I did hear the one guy, he came back. This is years ago, and he came back. And was like, oh, man, I shit my pants. I was like, what? I was like, I guess go to the bathroom and try and wash up or something. But I luckily never have, so that's one good thing. I mean, I've come close to almost throwing up, but it's like when you're in like a place and there's no AC and it's just super hot in the middle of summer, it's like, oh. But usually I'll just kind of like take a break of like somehow it's like throw me on the ring and I'll just kind of like compose myself. But no, luckily I have never had any problems like that.
Yeah, Dan Math, I'll get a chop to Brian Pillman Jr. and the fans noticed a little stain on the back of his trunks.
Wow, how about that? Oh, man. Yeah, damn, Math. Very intimidating, man. And just signed with ROH. He was actually, I was wrestling for PPW, which they run in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And he sent the Slaughter, his tag team were there, and they won the tag belts, and they lost them. And then, like, he got signed to ROH. And, like, 2 weeks later, so I'm like, wow, good for damn Math.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting chopped and going to the bathroom, I remember in Chikara, I know it's cloudy, or no, Cheech and Cloudy, so it's cloudy in the corner, and I forget who's, I think it's Grand Akuma, and he's like, chop, chop, he winds back, Cloudy's like, bleh, throws up, and then he chops him again. I was like, oh, man.
Do you have any kind of like wrestling stories or road stories?
You know, not really, only because like where I live, I don't really live near anybody, so I'm usually always driving by myself.
Okay.
So, like stories, like I never really had any, you know, nothing outrageous happen because it's usually just me. Or if I do, like I meet with somebody, then we're not far from the arena. So I sadly do not have any road stories. I wish I did.
Maybe one day you'll get those stories.
One day, we'll get that big contract. I'll be riding around, making some stories.
And maybe you'll throw things out the window at the other car and.
Yeah.
Who was that? Wasn't that like Rick Steiner?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and then they moon each other and stuff like that. I remember those stories.
I got one more question on my end.
Sure.
So, AEW's last, did you catch their last pay-per-view?
I caught the last two matches. I actually had a show that day. So I got home and I caught the end of Cody and Chris Jericho and then the whole Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley lights out match.
Yeah, so Omega versus Moxley has gotten a very polarizing response online because people either loved it or hated it. What was your opinion on it?
You know, I liked it. I think maybe, if anything, it went a little too long, I thought, because it was like, 38 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
But, I'm not a deathmatch guy at all. Like, I don't get into them. I never want to do one. I'll do, like, thumbtacks. That's about as far as I'll go. Like, the glass and stuff, no thank you.
But the thing that people were mentioning that was really amusing, or not really amusing, but it was, like, one person mentioned, they were like, how is it that they just got done, like, this 40-minute war, and, like, Moxley is more sweaty than anything, or, like, the one spot where they go through the, where they go into the barbed wire bed, it's like, okay, that part, if that would have happened in ECW, they would have been torn to shreds. They get up, and they're just like, it looks like they have magic healing powers, so... Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder, like, how much was real and how much was kind of gimmicked.
Yeah, I think probably a lot was gimmicked. Like, obviously the glass was the sugar glass, but I don't expect the guys to be cutting each other with real glass. I think it's the storyline was, it was the table that Moxley put Kenny through. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I would say some of the barbed wire was definitely worked, especially that barbed wire pit, snake, spider web, whatever they had. Because, yeah, like you said, if they would have won that, they probably would have been like, ugh, stuck. Because remember... Terry Funk and Sabu's arm got shredded when they just did that thing, and then they were stuck together and they had to cut him out.
Yeah.
But some of the shots, like, went early on with the barbed wire broom, when Kenny swings that, it hits Moxley in the head, like, he just bleeds immediately. I'm like, wow. So, I mean, they weren't getting sliced, but
Yeah, I don't think
all of it was 100% real barbed wire, but I guess for the stage, you know, it's because AEW is. I wasn't upset. But the only thing I thought was, like, a lot of in the match was, okay, I'm going to slam you, and then I'm going to go look for a weapon. And I was like, well, why don't you just pin him, you know? So there was a little bit too much looking for weapons and setting stuff up, but I know that's kind of how a death match or whatever goes. So, but I liked it. I wouldn't want to see that all the time, but every now and then I'm okay with it.
I've always been a big mark, I guess, for the spots that they use where they strip the ring and just have the boards underneath, like when they did that with NXT with Tommaso Ciampa versus Gargano.
Oh yeah, you hit the DDT. I like that too. I actually seen that a couple years ago in a event called CCW, the Classic Championship Wrestling, down in they ran outside of Harrisburg, Marysville, PA. And they did a match. It was like the gimmick was they're going to take all the board or all the pads off and just going to wrestle on the boards and have like a death match on that. And I was like, this is crazy because, like, you know, getting slammed on just the boards, like, ouch. Like, that was the first time I seen that was years ago. I was like, wow, that's something else. And then, yeah, I see the next team. And like, I kind of like when they just pull up like one of the corners and then just slam on the corner. Cause that's, I like that a little bit more than, because once you take the whole thing off, like the whole match, it's like, oh, okay, you know. But it's pretty cool to see.
So I know I said that was the last question, but speaking of like rings, so we had an interview with one person. I forgot who it was. It was the guy that got chokeslammed by Braun.
Okay. Oh, Ike Phelps.
Yeah, and he was talking about, he was like, yeah, when I got chokeslammed by Strowman, I did not realize how hard the ring was, because like every ring is kind of different in how hard and soft it is. So what would you say was probably like the hardest ring for you, where you were just like, man, I did not expect that?
I've been in a bunch of different rings, because obviously all these have all different rings. There was one, they used to have a place called PCWA, and they would run up, you know, the Northeast PA area here. And they had this ring that was an old, they said they bought it from Offa. It was an old WWE ring from the 80s, and there's that huge spring underneath, which is just the morph to make sound. And man, that you get slammed on that, it was like, ugh. it sucked. Like, you would want to just have a straight chain wrestling match, because it was just awful to land on. So that was probably that PCWA ring, which then they got rid of. I mean, that ring at that time was probably 20 years old. So it was just, the bump in that was terrible. But then you get some, and it's like, wow, this is great. And then the only other problem is, like, when the boards get loose and one comes, like, up on the other, and if you get, like, slammed on that. Like, one time, I forget what happened, and the board was, like, up on the other one. So I got, like, powerbombed or something, and it's like I hit, and then I hit again. I was like, ugh, and kind of knocked the wind out of me. Like, oh, that sucked.
No, but that does suck.
Yeah. Usually, for the most part, all the rings are pretty good nowadays. They ain't bad. Like, the ropes are nice and tight, and the bump isn't bad. But, I mean, sometimes you get in, like, oh, these ropes suck. They're like the old 80s WWF ropes where you could do the Andre spot where you know, you get caught up in the ropes.
I think the one that people always mention as far as, like, online was TNA's old 8-sided ring or 6-sided ring or whatever, how they were like, yeah, visually it looked great, but it was just harder.
Yeah, that's what they said, because there wasn't like as much give, because there was
just because of the way that it was built. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been in a 6-sided ring. I've never been seen one in person, but yeah, I couldn't imagine like that. Like, probably just right in the middle was nice, but everywhere else probably was not so nice.
Oh, have you seen the Maxwell Jacob Freeman on Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, I did when he was like 7 years old. It's like, wow, he could talk then.
They really need to play that up.
They do.
I think they probably will. Now he's a heel, or maybe they'll have like a, as the storyline goes, maybe Cody will say, oh yeah, Jeff, look at this, you and Rosie. So I think they will involve that at some point. I mean, why not? You know, unless they can't get the rights to it or something.
Somehow I want the fans to start singing that song when he's in the ring.
Yeah, like Cody should be like, oh, MJF, you are my sunshine.
Yeah. But man, MJF is like 23, and he's touched such a good promo. Like, in the ring, he's good, but like, he's not great, but like, his promo definitely carries him. You know, you just listen to him talk all day.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, the time that we saw, the first time we saw him at HOH, it was like, man, this guy is a heat magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not many people like that nowadays, because everyone wants to be like, you know, like a Randy Orton heel, or they would be like a cool, like a Young Buck heel, where it's like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm like, come on, be back. I mean, you're going to cheer me because I'm so cool.
But it's also the little details that matter, because it's like the second that you saw the dude, the random dude come out with a scarf, it's like, this guy's a douchebag.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then he kind of carries himself like that too. So yeah, I just hate him already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see him like do a promo with The Miz.
Back that'd be something. Like, he's one of the guys that I think WWE would love to have, just yeah. because like it just. I mean, he has the look and he can talk. I mean, and then if you can talk in WWE, you're going straight to the top.
Yeah. But my last question: what did you think of CM Punk coming back to wrestling with Fox
on the backstage? Obviously. I never watched backstage, to be honest. And then I seen the clip the next day on YouTube, and I was like, well, how about that? I mean, he's back. I mean, is he going to wrestle? I would say eventually. I mean, that's kind of, they're probably like, hey, we got him. We got him, you know, it's only a matter of time. So, I can't see him, you know, comment on wrestling, you know, let's say he's there for a year. I can't see him comment for wrestling for a whole year and not wanting to do something. So, I mean, hey, it's good. I mean, at the end of the day, he tried it, didn't work out, but hey. He's good at wrestling, so just wrestle. You know?
Wouldn't it be awesome to see him as number 30 at the Royal Rumble?
That would be awesome. I think probably not the Royal Rumble, but maybe WrestleMania get him.
But no, not WrestleMania. He's going for that sweet, salty money.
No, yeah, I can see that too. Whenever the next Crown Jewel, or whatever, because they're about two a year, even though those shows are usually pretty bad. I can see him wrestling there. I mean, they offer money. Hey, you know, they say... You know, hey, we'll give you $10 million. No, we'll give you $12 million. No, we'll give you $20 million. Okay.
It's really crazy to think, though, with like all the production value that they put into the shows, that they have all been just panned.
Yeah, I mean, they even said like the last one was kind of the best one, but like still a lot of people are like, I'm like me and myself, like I don't want to watch it. Like, I just don't care.
I haven't watched one Saudi pay per view.
Really, I watched the very first one. What was that? The Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
because then I didn't know about the whole like how they killed that reporter guy and all that stuff. So I was like, I watched. I was like, this is all right, but like you can see they're just pandering. Like, hey, Saudi Arabia is a great place, and then like the death of that reporter that comes out now. Like they don't even mention Saudi Arabia, so I don't know. If I was there, I would be like, no, I'm not going.
The Undertaker versus Goldberg was like the closest thing you'll get to a New Japan match, because like they just kept dropping each other on their heads.
Yeah, unintentionally though. Oh man, that match! I remember my friends like, "Oh, what do you think of this?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to see that. Maybe in 2005, not now." And then I see it the next day. I was like, "That was terrible."
Okay.
Oh, but so yeah. one of the things that we always ask, like before we wrap things up, was
sure.
Is there any social media pages or any place where people can follow you online?
Oh, yeah, sure. So if you want to find me on Facebook, you can just search Andy Hedder, H-E-A-D-E-R, and I'll come up with Facebook, and also Instagram, I will come up there. So anytime I have a show flyer, I will always post it and share the show flyer or my match graphic, or both, you know, whatever. So yeah, Andy Hedder on Facebook and Instagram. I do not have a Twitter because I don't really like Twitter. So you find me there. And a cheap plug for the podcast, if you go on Facebook and you type in Not Cool in High School or Tornado Tag or Calling the Power Ring, they all have Facebook pages, and you can find it there or subscribe to the podcast on any device. Anywhere you find a podcast, you can find those podcasts.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Do you have any pictures that you want us to use when we post this?
Are you really any from my profile picture? Go ahead and take any of them. Okay. Come on to me. I have a couple. Usually when I get like a cool promo shot, I always bring my profile picture. So any way you want to use, go ahead.
So I always tell this to everybody that comes on. When you come on to Insigori, you become part of the family. So welcome to the family.
Oh, well, thank you. It was a fun time. I appreciate it. I love podcasts. Anytime I can do one, why not?
Yeah, if there's any time that you want to promote anything also, you can feel free to share it on our Facebook page. We try to keep it open as much as possible for people who want to share or promote upcoming shows.
Oh, all right, cool. Sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, I always get a table for icons and stuff like that. If you ever want to come down and sit at a table and try to sell stuff, you're welcome to join us.
Cool, yeah, definitely. Because I do have my last plug, our new blue and gold t-shirt where we look like the X-Men. And we're selling them, and they're available in black and blue. Ooh. So And they're $20, $25 if we gotta ship them. But we'll have them at the next True Wrestling Show, which will be, I'll plug that. Will be November 23rd at Berwick, the Salvation Army in Berwick, Pennsylvania, and we'll be wrestling there. We're gonna have our T-shirts for sale. Or you can just message me on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll make sure you get a T-shirt if you would like one. Awesome. That's about it for me. So hey, it was fun, guys. I appreciate it. So, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
So let's end this.
All right. Yep. This is
DB Richards
and Fran and JC Ovis playing with my cat and our special guest tonight,
Andy Hedder.
Oh yeah.
Thanks again, man.
Yep. No problem. See you guys later.
Yep. Bye. Bye.